Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Father, we pray that you would use the word of God in print to connect us to the word of God in person. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his name we pray, amen. I have been convinced for many years now, decades even, that the best writing is clear and it's simple and it's direct. When I enjoyed some years teaching grade school and I would have my students write a paper, I love to remind them repeatedly, your brevity is my levity. Get to the point. And I have always been especially drawn to what I call nutshells. Just bottom line, short, to the point statements. I think that's one of the brilliant aspects of our church's catechisms, is they have that incredible ability to ask a profound question and give a deep, bottom line, short answer. Well, I see in our passage this morning a nutshell answer to a very profound question. And the question is this: what is it that God really wants of us? And the answer is quite simply, be holy, for I am holy. That is a profound statement. God says, be like me. I want you as my creature to be like me, to be holy, to be set apart, to be full of God in every part of who we are. Our hearts, our souls, our minds, our thoughts, our actions, our decisions. Be like me, God says, through and through. Sounds wonderful. What could be better than that? What could be better than being like God? Question is, how do we get there? How do you start to move in that direction? Well, I think Peter suggests four things in our passage this morning that we need for our lives to be filled with God. Let me offer four things. Let's just walk through the passage, beginning in verse 13. Peter says we need a new mindset if we're going to be filled with God. Look at verse 13. He says, therefore. Now, therefore means in light of what I have just said. And if you remember, we've spent several weeks now looking at verses 3 through 12. Verses 3 through 12 is a lengthy praise to God for giving us, if you are in Christ, a new birth. It is a lengthy praise to God, recognizing that it is God who sustains our salvation, both future, present, and past. It is a lengthy praise to God for our salvation. And he says, because God has given you this salvation, therefore, that's the indicative. Now here comes the imperative. God has done all of this for you. And because God has done all of this for you in salvation, therefore you should look different from the world around us. And the first way he says to look different is preparing your minds for action. Literally in the Greek, it is gird up the loins of your mind. What in the world does that mean? Gird up the loins of your mind. It's a metaphor. Peter says, you are a man in the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. and you're wearing the customary robes that go down to your ankles, a toga perhaps, you're walking, you're sitting, you're reclining, you're doing something leisurely, and he says, it's time for battle. Gird up your robes, pull them up, cinch the belt around, and get ready to run. Get ready to fight. That's what Peter's saying here, except he's saying, do it with your mind. I find that just fascinating. Don't ever let anyone get away with the false notion that Christianity is not an intellectual religion. There are countless numbers of verses, Old Testament and New Testament, that speak to sharpening the mind. That's what he's saying here. Roll up your sleeves might be a modern equivalent. Roll up your sleeves, get to work, and because of the salvation that God has provided for you in Christ, sharpen your mind. This is a call to discernment. This is a call to thinking. This is a call to mental readiness. If you're going to be holy as God is holy, you have to cultivate a healthy mind, and this reflects that principle. And this is very important. If God is going to have your heart, He's going to get it through your mind. Our minds are to always guard our hearts. Our hearts are fickle. Emotions are fickle. Guard your heart with your mind. Don't guard your mind with your heart. That's backwards. How do you sharpen your mind? How do you learn to think? Well, you read. You learn. You avail yourselves of educational materials. You participate in the Christian education ministries of the church. You listen to the preaching of God's word. You read God's word, but it's not limited to just God's word. Remember Paul's admonition in Philippians 4:8. He said to think about whatever is true. Think about whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. There's a whole creation of truth and beauty. You see it everywhere. Go, learn, broaden your mind, read, explore, experience the wonders of God's creation. You may remember Paul used a similar phrase in Ephesians 6:14 when he's talking about the armor of God, and he says, put on the belt of truth. That's how you gird up the loins of your mind. You put on the belt of God's truth. God's truth in the book of nature, God's truth in the book of special revelation. Dwell on it. Learn it. Sharpen your mind. Gird up the loin of your mind. I find that spiritual trouble always comes when our mind is undisciplined. It's the undisciplined mind that finds itself losing control of anger. It's the undisciplined mind that finds itself getting eaten up with bitterness. It's the undisciplined mind. Discipline your mind by God's truth is what Peter is saying here. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So if we're going to begin to be holy as God is holy, if we're going to begin to be filled with God because of the salvation that He has provided for us, we need a new mindset, Peter says. Number two, we need a new focus. He says, and being sober-minded, verse 13, or being self-controlled, or in the Greek it's literally being wineless. It's not limited just to wine. But the idea is, rid your life of things that cloud your spiritual judgment. Rid your life of things that cloud your moral judgment. What kind of things can cloud your spiritual and moral judgment? Well, it can be all kinds of things. Could be the company you keep. The friends you have. Could be the job you have. Could be a harmful TV show. It could be the music you listen to and fill your head with. There's all kinds of things. It could be a habit that you know is harming you and you refuse to give it up. It could be certain memories from the past. It could be a love and obsession with new fads. all kinds of things in this world that can cloud the mind, cloud our spiritual and moral judgment. And the point Peter is making here is if you're a believer in Christ, you have the Word of God, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you have the ability to discern and keep your eyes open and not let anything cloud your spiritual or moral vision. That's what it means to be sober-minded. We must, if we are in Christ, and young people, listen to me. Learn the art of making careful, thoughtful, sober, biblical decisions, especially when it comes to the most important things in life. We have the tools to do it. We have the tools to do it if we're in Christ. That's what it, part of what it takes to become more filled with God and more holy like He is holy. We need a new mindset. We need a new focus. Let me suggest a third thing that Peter mentions here. End of verse 13. Prepare your minds, be sober-minded. We need a new goal. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Friends, we all have things in life that we set our hope on. We have goals. We have important milestones. At every age and phase of life, there are things that control our interests and we set our hope on them. A student sets his hope on graduation. A bride sets her hope on a wedding day. A candidate sets his hope on winning the election. But Peter's saying here, if you want to be holy as God is holy, you need to have a goal that overarches all other human goals, all other goals in life, all other purposes in life. And he says that goal is to one day see Jesus Christ face to face. That is the great hope that is held out in the New Testament over and over again. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that one day we will see Him face to face. Eyeball to eyeball. Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. The Christian life is a marathon. And it's long and it's hard. And there are many temptations along the way. There are many discouragements along the way. A lot of times the Christian life will feel like three steps forward and two steps back. And Peter says, you're not going to make it unless you keep your eyes on the prize. You keep running. When you get knocked down, you get back up and run again. And you don't stop running until you see Jesus Christ at the finish line. That is an encouragement to holiness and to perseverance and to sanctification. It's also a wonderful source of accountability, and we need accountability. How else do you grow in holiness if you don't have accountability? This notion that you will one day stand in the physical presence of Jesus Christ and be called to give an account for your time and your language and your decision making, your choices. If that really grips you from the inside out, how can that not influence the company we decide to keep? The things we say, the things we do, the way we spend our time. We're going to stand before Christ one day. So Peter says, if we're going to be holy like God is holy, we need a new mindset. We need a new focus. We need a new goal. Let me give a fourth thing. We need a new lifestyle. Verse 14. As obedient children. Now remember, there's this running theme of the family metaphor. He's given you a new birth, he said earlier in the chapter. He is now your spiritual father. We are now his spiritual sons and daughters. Christ is now our spiritual brother. Now he says we are obedient children. We are to be obedient children. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He contrasts the way we used to live, the way they used to live, with how they live now after coming to know Christ. Before you came to Jesus, you did the things you did because you didn't know better. I'm so thankful that my experience as a pastor has been by and large an answer to prayers that we offer every time we baptize one of our covenant children. It is by God's grace. We have so many covenant children in our church who have grown up, I think, truly not knowing a day that they did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, I can't think of a greater blessing. That wasn't exactly my experience. That wasn't the experience of so many of you. So many of you can relate to these scattered exiles that Peter is writing to. They may have lived the majority of their life not knowing Christ and doing dishonoring things and having a real past that they're ashamed of, but they've repented of and they've been forgiven, but they didn't know better. They were ignorant. If you don't know the law, you're ignorant of the law. It takes the law to introduce us to the concept of sin and repentance and forgiveness. And by God's grace, that is also the testimony of many Christians. That's the testimony of these Christians. And he was saying there was a time when you had no knowledge of the law. You did things you didn't know any better. And even if you knew better, you didn't have the power to change them. You were ignorant of God's grace. You were ignorant of God's holiness. You were ignorant of God's call to repentance and salvation. But he says, now you've been given a new birth. Don't go back to the old things. Now you've been given a new birth. Don't adopt the habits of the world, the mannerisms of the world, the speech of the world, the ungodly thought and philosophies of the world. Don't do it. But live your life now. Show outwardly by your conduct the character of a life that has been changed from the inside out by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, continuing this metaphor here of the family, we've been given a new birth. God is our Father. Now we are to be obedient children to the Father. You see, this is a call to family resemblance. This is a call to family resemblance. We see a little bit of that, I think, in our own family units. We do in our household. If you're in the Duncan household, you carry the Duncan name. When you go out of the household, you're reflective of the Duncan family. Reflect well on your family. Reflect well on your parents. God is saying, I want you to reflect well on me. I want you to reflect well on me in the conduct that you exhibit in everyday life. I want you to be holy as I am holy, to the point that as you're out in the marketplace or in the home or in the classroom or wherever you may be, other people look at you and they know there's something different about this person. They may not know exactly what it is, but it ought to at least raise an eyebrow. There's something different about this person. There's something changed about this person. You know, as a parent, one of the greatest blessings is when your children do something that make you proud. And mine do every day. And I think, that's my girl. That's my girl. That's my daughter. That's what Peter's talking about here. In your everyday conduct, knowing the Father is looking down knowing one day you will see Jesus Christ face to face. And the Father in heaven looking down upon you and saying, that's my son. That's my daughter. You see, that shows us that holiness is not simply a set of rules and regulations. That's what I think we all maybe naturally think of when we're talking about holiness, rules, rule following. That's not what's driving this passage. You see, what holiness is primarily about is a relationship with God, the Creator. A relationship. And that's where the gospel becomes so powerful. Jesus Christ came into this world to bring God to us and to bring you to God. Jesus Christ came into this world that you might become a son or daughter of God. He came to save us. He now lives to help us. He is now interceding on your behalf. And if you want to be more like God, it can happen. If you want to be holy as God is holy, it can happen. If you want to know this joy that passes all understanding, it can happen. All you have to do is ask. Ask God and He'll give it. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to receive you in Christ. Ask the Lord to make you holy. And He will begin reshaping you from the inside out through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of His Word, through the ministry of the sacraments and prayer. And by the power of the gospel, for those who are in Christ, our hearts and our minds and our souls will progressively be transformed into the image of our Father. For the whole marathon, what is it that God really wants of us? Be holy, for I am holy. Father, we come to you this morning asking in the name of Christ for a new mindset, a new focus, a new goal, a new lifestyle. Lord, take us, change us, transform us, and use us. We long to be your children. And we long for that day when we will see you at the revelation of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.